Hi and welcome to What's Next. I'm Therese, your host, and I was trained to be an architect, I work as an architect, and I started this podcast to talk about what's next in the fields of architecture, design and technology, facing topics such as climate change, artificial intelligence, and where humanity's place is in this fast-moving world. I hope you enjoy this week's episode, so have fun listening.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, fine.
First of all, thank you very much for taking the time. And I start right away with the first question. Who are you? Please introduce yourself and your studio.
I'm Barbara Stallone. I'm from Italy. I start architecture in Venice, then in Switzerland, in Mendrisio. Then I work in New York, in Big. And then after my graduation, I moved to Paris, where I work for Kengo Kuma and Fujimoto. And it's there where I met Francisco.
Yeah, so it's me. I'm Francisco. I'm from Porto, Portugal. And I studied in Porto, and then I always worked in Paris. I started in Genovelle and then in Su Fujimoto. And as Barbara was saying, that's where we started working together, and we actually created the X-Figure at the studio.
And what exactly do you do with X-Figure?
So basically the office is like, we are doing a different type of art. So it's not just architecture, but it's like we are really open for any type of art form and experimentation. So basically we are start to do some competition, and then we are develop at the moment different type of work that is like installation or articles, research, and we are doing a lot of collaboration with artists or designer.
Yeah, because from the very beginning we didn't want to limit ourselves to only doing what we are already doing in the office. So we are always had a lot of interest in the art world, in design, in many other things. So we wanted to bring a lot of many different subjects into what we were doing professionally. And in that way, as Barbara was saying, we tried to, from the very beginning, not only to include in our process, but also to do many types of collaborations with different, with people from many backgrounds, in order to really look at architecture, art design, which are our main focuses, through a much more open way.
That sounds very interesting. And before we get deeper into this, I have some warm-up questions for you. It's more on the private side, so the listeners get to know you a little bit better. I hope you're prepared. What's your favorite drink? Alcoholic, non-alcoholic?
No, you start.
Oh, no. Yeah, because this was actually some of the hardest questions I've had to come up with an answer.
I'm so curious too, because it's like I should know and I don't know.
No, because usually I like things that are very, that have a lot of sugar, and because I'm a big fan of cakes, so I would definitely go for a milkshake, something with I don't know, vanilla or caramel, something that is complex, that is very that has a lot of layers.
So are you also like a Starbucks lover with all the caramel syrup on top?
Yes.
For me, depends, you know, of course, the situation. For start in the morning, maybe I will say coffee. But then for the evening, I think I will go for something more alcoholic, like Prosecco or Spritz, something. I'm like from that region. And so everything is so good. And I will say that.
So a slight feeling of home in the evening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something really high quality and cheap, something I cannot find here.
Yeah, I believe that. If you could develop a skill overnight, what would you wish for? It can be anything.
But for me, I don't know. I make so many dreams over the night that sometime I would wish to remember it, or like have a skill to draw in super good the feeling, the atmosphere, or like to make it almost like real to remember me. But because they are giving so many inspiration too, and I try to make it in some way, but I never find a skill to really well represent it. So I don't know, I would love to have this skill.
Sometimes I wake up after having a dream, then I want to go back to sleep and catch on this dream. Do you also have this?
Yeah.
It does not work to go back to the dream.
You have to practice, but for me, if you wake up one time, I can go back. That's it. And also, I think learning language fast will be amazing. It will be just a dream.
But yeah, for me, I don't know. I think this was the hardest question. I would say, I don't know, maybe, I think it would be nice not having the need to sleep at night. Like you could just have all the time to do something else.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not feel tired then.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah.
I think there's this movie. It's called, I think it's with Bradley Cooper, and there are some pills, and he's like a super genius, and he can't sleep anymore. I think you should watch it and then think about your answer again.
Yeah. Maybe it's the inspiration I need.
Yeah. I remember, I loved it, the movie. Yeah.
You have an idea. Yeah.
What's your favorite hobby besides architecture?
For me, it's drawing. I try to do it like every day.
What do you draw? People?
Mostly people, yeah. But, architecture, spaces, obviously. And then many other things like design. And when I was younger, I was drawing many different things like cars and characters, anything that I would just imagine, I would just put into paper because, I wanted to see what it looked like. A little bit what Barbara was saying about the dreams, but I started doing it when I was small.
We can make it my dream. So, but you don't dream, so bad.
I dream, yeah, but not the same way. No.
I also really like art, so I love to go to vernissage, or exposition, museum. But also when I have free time, I love to be outside. So have sun and walk and be in the nature.
So a mixture out of art and culture and nature.
Yes.
Sounds very healthy.
Yeah, and spritz.
Why did you start Ex Figura? What was your thought behind it?
So it's a bit what we were saying before. We come from different backgrounds, and we both had a lot of interest in art because it was a part of our school growing up. So we wanted to see more of that integrated into the work that we were doing. And the problem is that in practically all of the architectural studios nowadays, there's this focus only on production, on only on the things that that are very standard. Like we tend to work only in plan sections, 3D models, and most of the conceptual work is either very repetitive or it's not even a part of what the architects do. So we wanted the opportunity to redefine that and to really create a context where we would be able to just develop it and take it in any direction we wanted. So XFigure, in a way, it was like an excuse to do that.
Is there a philosophy behind XFigure?
Basically, it's like we are starting our concept from anything. So when we were studying, like I was saying, Francisco, they teach us like to have a reference from other architect or something similar already built or something already realized. And actually, we try to open mind this concept to everything can be an inspiration for us. Anything that is like maybe something new, maybe something that we find interesting, but still we don't know if it's possible. So I will say like our philosophy is like to make a new way to see things and see if kind of they are possible. Maybe they are not working, but maybe they're gonna open mind for something else after. Maybe not us, maybe someone else. But really, we believe that all this connection and to bring new idea can evolve for something.
Yeah, we really like the idea of opening our process and really not only in terms of what comes in, but also in terms of what we show of it. So not only we try to incorporate many various things. I mean, to give you an example, we can start a project by looking at reference not only from architect because it's the most obvious one, but also from paintings, statues, or pieces of design, clothing, music, video games. It really
everything.
We don't limit ourselves to what is expected of a process, and then we also want to show that to work a bit like an open source, like reveal our process so that other people not only they can see how the ideas flow, but then if they see another purpose to some of our own projects, they can just take them and develop into something else because it's part of the process.
What was, for example, your last project?
One of the last built ones, we had actually two very close ones here in Paris that were a bit different in their conception. We did a small installation in the center of Paris in Marais, and it was a part of an art collective exhibition, so we had to work with the other artists that were around us, and it was a particularly difficult task because of the work itself that the other artists were proposing, because it was completely unrelated to our own. And then at the same time, we wanted to do something that could stand on its own and it could also create a meaningful experience to the visitors, something that they could, while not clashing with the other artworks, but at the same time be relevant and be cool to experience for them. So this was one, one of our favorite ones, the last ones, it was actually in Versailles. We got to do a small temporary installation working with the University of Mendrisio.
Yes, it's called in Dancing Columns. And basically, there was like this idea that the columns that are like a reference of an old fountain in the Garden of Versailles, they were moving like a water. And everything is like balloons with a cover of fabric, and they are moving with the wind. And it was really like a kind of unexpected but nice installation that we really enjoyed, because it was also experimentation for us, because we had to work with physics and gravity and materials. And so it was really cool to make some idea that are just concept practical.
Have it ever happened to you that you have no idea what to do at all? If yes, who or what inspires you in that moment?
In the part of the idea or for the conception or which part of the project?
Everything. You don't have any idea what to do next. There's no creative cell left. What do you do?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't think it ever happened. I'm saying this because not to show off, but you know, the thing is that every time for every project, we don't. We never start with anything already set in stone. Like, we don't have a specific goal we want to reach. And in that way, we are always open in the beginning to anything.
Yeah, because we are not starting just from the site, then the client requests. Everything is always open. And then I think the thing that we are too, it's really like flexible, because we always think someone of us have an idea. So
yeah, because we always try to we have this method of working, like from the get-go we set up kind of mood boards and folders where we just start feeling them from the start. So anything that comes into our mind, either from, like Barbara was saying, either from the site or from any direction or from any topic related to the theme of the project or to the use of the project, we just start writing and making like a collection of images, any content that could be relevant. We don't even know how it can work, and that I think it automatically fits the process. So there's always something in the background, even if we feel like
Something that we have so many actually choice, but then when we decide something, you feel like it's the only way, the only right choice.
Yeah.
Like real, we make a million of options, all different.
Have you ever felt pressure, like that your next installation must be even more artistic, more creative? I can just imagine for myself that I would freak out probably a lot, to be scared of bad critics or that nobody likes it or that it's just not good enough. How do you handle this? Or you don't have it at all, you just do?
No, we have it.
You were asking the question and I was actually interpreting from two different angles. Like concerning the next project, I think the advantage of not having like a clear or a style, if I can use the word, gives us the advantage to just be able to create anything. So we feel that we are always free to do the things that we like, and we are not obliged to follow a particular identity or a particular image. But then living up to expectations, that is stressful, especially, I mean, we were talking about the project in Versailles, for example, that one, because it had so many components that we weren't in control of. That one was really stressful because
even the weather, for example, you cannot control everything, the price, what you I mean, you have to deal with something, and of course, the comp set have to be really strong that can have for like some inconvenience things.
Yeah, but in the end, you're two, and then it's not that bad. What does it mean to be an architect for you? Also in the works with Ex Figura. Do you have like a responsibility that you're aware of that you want to present to the world as architects or?
Yeah, I think it's really important that we are like thinking about the future. And also, I think we have the possibility to show also where there can be the problems. For example, we did a monument that was speaking about the climate change. So we know that we cannot really do much in our small office, but like we wanted to create something that show the people the problem. So everyone can reflect about this topic.
So you raise awareness towards climate change through your installations and projects. If you could do a shout out to architecture offices all over the world in terms of climate change, what would you tell them?
That's not an easy task. Yeah. People need to have a responsibility towards their own actions, and it starts in the small things. I mean, regardless of the projects that we do, and we have some experience working in many big international offices, it really comes up to the small things, because sometimes you're in the office and you have to print so many things, and most of the times for no reason at all. And it's those small actions that when you scale them up, they have a lot of impact, and everyone needs to start having and taking responsibility for their own actions, and then it will just naturally transpire into the project itself.
If we're talking about printing and paper, where are we going related to artificial intelligence? Do you think in a couple of years somebody still prints something in the offices, or is there just artificial intelligence and maybe one or two or three creative heads?
Yeah, it's a good question. About printing, I hope no one will print anymore. But yeah, we don't know. But I don't know, because there is an interesting part of this topic that I'm really curious to see where we are going. I'm not negative of thinking about the future. And, but because I'm also curious, I really want to see how far we can go. But I still think that creativity cannot be replaced, even if we are going to a generation that we are making image and they try to basically replace also artists. I still think there will be like a possibility for artists and architects to have your own mind and to say something that, I don't know, I'm super free for it. So maybe it will be interesting that can be replaced people, but then something new will happen for architect then.
When you look at the tendency in just looking at the style of work in offices, the more repetitive tasks are just disappearing because, well, fortunately, we are developing new ways of doing them. But at the same time, we have to consider that in the future, there will be much less people working there because there's no need. And then another thing to bear in mind is the creative part, because one of the biggest problems nowadays is that not just the architectural studios, but most of the companies in our societies, that they are so focused on profits that they will just seek the cheapest way to achieve a result. So they will not care if the idea comes from one person or two or three, or if it comes from a machine, because in the end, the machine will do it much cheaper and it will not complain and it can work during the night. That's another problem to consider. The positive, I mean, my hope is that when it comes to the creative part, we are able to really rely on our intuitive part, because I think it's something that really gives us an advantage and individually, because each person is going to have their own unique take on something, their own perspective on something. And if we are really able to easily translate it into an idea and to really create something, but if we are educated to do it, I think it will give us the possibility to continue to have a voice regardless of everything else that is going on. Otherwise, we could all easily be replaced by a machine and the result would probably be the same as it is nowadays.
And what happens to the rest? To the rest of the people that don't have a voice and are not that high educated? Where are they?
Well, that's the thing. For me personally, I think everyone is able to do this, because each person has their own set of inspirations, their own set of references. So their opinions, their not just their own, their local communities, they all have a voice. They all have something to say. They all have something meaningful that they can add. The problem is that most of the times they don't have the means, they don't have the opportunity to do it. And that's the work that we should be doing as a society. We should be empowering everyone to be positive or to add something that is meaningful to the whole system.
Just for example, I don't think that every bus driver can be schooled to be a programmer, for example. And I'm just wondering what happens to all the bus drivers.
Yeah, there are new jobs are coming up. I'm kind of sure for this, because it's something that, it's something we don't know yet. We will come. And then if everyone is able not to work anymore, we'll invite a new way to live, a new society, a new... No? Otherwise, it will be impossible. Like, everything is happening slowly. But if this can happen, like, in a few years, then for sure something have to change.
But for me, I must say it would be perfect if everybody gets a safe amount of money every month and artificial intelligence just works for us instead of us and everybody just does their hobbies.
I actually don't know, because where would the motivation be afterwards?
I think the motivation is even higher if you have a safe amount of money every month to do something on top.
But why would someone make an effort if they know that someone else won't make an effort and will get the same reward? I think that's a problem with the universal...
I think if everybody gets the same first, then everybody is the same. And then you're more motivated to even make more, no?
So
you would stay at home, don't do anything.
Yeah,
it's this. Sometimes when the stuff gets hard, you it's like more motivating and more, you make more passion and the try, like the thing that you don't know if you will success or not. This is give you the motivation. But when stuff are too easy, and you get tired, kind of.
Really? Like for me, it would calm me down extreme, and then I could think calm about what I want to do next. If you don't have all the worries, oh God, how do I pay my rent? How do I do this? How do I do this? You just have your safe income, and then you start to think, okay, what do I like? What am I good at? And then you do it. No?
Honestly, I don't know. I think, I mean, putting it a bit philosophically, I think we need a little bit of the negative in order to really enjoy the positive. Because if everything comes without efforts, I don't know, I don't see the upside.
The evolution, like if something is already done, like, and you can be happy with just what you get.
It's like a book, like, where everything is fine from the beginning to the end. I mean, there's no plot. And it's
no excitement, drama.
And yeah, you're not really drawn into that because there's nothing happening. You're not excited to see what's going to happen next because you already know everything is fine.
But I think it's really interesting to have like a base for everyone, because if all the jobs are getting have replaced from machine, so for sure if everyone get something, but then it's really interesting and complicated at the same time.
Yeah. I know, but I'm a bit more afraid that we end up replacing the challenges and all these stimuli from reality, that we end up replacing it from with a virtual side, and we end up spending practically all our lives online.
Because also I was thinking, if it's not really you do this job but the machine, then you don't need to develop any skills to do so. How you divide what you control? For example, we have a passion for architecture, so we control the machine to do architecture, but anyone can do that. So how you divide the work? Like, I can do whatever work then, and if someone else is doing for me. So you're like not develop something that can be just you to control it, because of course everyone want to do the most cool things, even if they is not able to do it. And no one want to care about trash, and everyone can do that.
So now we're right in the next question. How do you imagine the future living space and working space?
Oh, yeah. So apparently not well. yeah, I mean, it really depends. I think things are really evolving really fast. If you look just 5 years ago, things looked so different. And now the prospect is that they're going to change even faster, and it's hard to really have a clear view of what's going to happen in 2, 3, 5, 10 already looks impossible. But yeah, if we just approach the question from are we going to spend the time in the digital space? If we look at it positively, there are some wonderful opportunities there because of the technology, what it allows each and everyone. I think the degree of specificity that we can now relate a space or an environment towards what each person wants, I think it's an amazing aspect of technology, because now you can have someone that is untrained, doesn't need to know how to design space to develop their own space and really create something that is their own. So that's definitely one of the best things. Then there's everything else that we were previously discussing.
Would you like to sit in your little room with your glasses on, creating your avatar and not leaving your apartment ever again? Probably you sit next to each other, both have the glasses on, and you meet online.
No, definitely no. But I think the living space will change also regarding the future technologic. And of course, like now in a small scale, we can see how the space of work, it's already changed. Everyone want to be more free and not work anymore in an office and be able to travel and work from everywhere. Like this, I think maybe this same typology will change the way we live and the typology of housing, for sure.
Can you draw me a clear picture how you imagine, for example, also your own living space in the future?
I feel like it's going to be much more related to our own preferences and our own state of mind, and it's going to adapt much, much faster than it does nowadays. Because if we compare, for example, the opportunities that we have now and the opportunities that our parents had when they were doing the decoration for their house or for their apartment, nowadays we have many more options. And I feel like that tendency is going to develop even more. And I think with the by adding this layer of technology that we are seeing nowadays, it's just going to become almost automatic. Like you arrive from work or from the outside to your house, and even without asking, even without thinking on it, your house will automatically adapt to your mood. And I think that's a wonderful aspect. Obviously, we have to also bear in mind that to allow this kind of technology that can automatically know and give you back what you want, it will also need to have a deep knowledge of yourself. So so for the future, we really have to consider how much we are willing to give ourselves in order to get that amazing result that we want.
But also another thing I was thinking is like that like now almost no one want to have something like our parents or grandparents, to build their own house and like to have fixed on it in the same city, same country. So like now everything has become more sharing. So this is really like a process that is really close, right, for the future. But like, because I think Francisco went really far, maybe to have a step in the middle is like that we are not really like design something for forever, for something that you like, okay, I'm gonna stay here all my life. But it becomes something more neutral that can be changed and can be adapted for any type of time. And there is not this feeling anyone want to have something forever or the design of, and it's sad because of course when you are an architect you also want to create something that is for just for that person. If I think a house I want is also something I want to adapt for me, but I think for the future generation this will be more the trend.
Just a short question, do you fly home from work or do you take your bike?
By ourselves or any other means of transport? Yeah, it's really hard to know because, for example,
I'm not moving, I'm always here.
Yeah, if you don't need to leave the house, no. But for example, I still take a bike to move around, which would be something that if someone saying in the early 2000s, they would probably say, why? So it's really hard to know what's going to happen. And maybe that's the fun part here.
Unfortunately, we already reached the last question. What means architecture for you personally?
Well, for me, it's more like passion. So it's something I really enjoy to do, to think, and it's something that makes me feel happy. So simply, after all this complex question, finally, something simple.
Yeah, because actually I was thinking what this architecture means, like in general. I was still deep
in
thinking something deep. I like designing and creating. So anything where I get to develop something new. And if I can, especially in architecture, if we are able to give something back and to create something that is meaningful to someone or to a community, I think that's a wonderful job.
Very well said. Thank you very much for being on the show. It was a pleasure talking to you. It was really an amazing talk. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This was this week's episode. We really hope you liked it as much as we did. If you have comments, suggestions, critique, please let us know. And till next time on What's Next. Ciao, ciao.